25, verses 1 through 13, can be found on page 903 of your pew Bible. This is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go get the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
When I was a freshman in college, I used to have really, really vivid dreams. I've always had vivid dreams, but this year in particular, I think I had a lot of anxiety because it was a new thing, going off to college, being away from my family for the first time. I loved the independence, it was great, and I had a lot of losses. I missed my high school friends, I missed my family, I missed my dog. So it was kind of a hard time as well. And one of the common themes of these really vivid dreams that I had was of some kind of natural disaster, like that was impending, that I knew it was coming. So I had warning that an earthquake was about to come, or a big tsunami was about to come and cover the place I was living in. And I knew that it was coming, but I didn't know exactly when. So I didn't know, like, oh, I have 10 minutes, I have 20 minutes. I knew it was just coming any minute. So I would be in my house, and I would be scrambling for those items that are so beloved that we want to take with us in an emergency. But my room in these dreams was always a complete mess. I couldn't find anything. So I was scrambling through my messy room looking for these cherished items with the knowledge that at any moment an earthquake could come and destroy the whole house and me with it, or the tsunami would come up and over the house and destroy my house and myself. In these dreams, that never actually happened. I always woke up before anything terrible happened. But I think what the dreams were about was my anxiety about being prepared for the changes that were going on in my life. I had this sense that I wasn't ready. My house wasn't clean. I didn't have those sacred objects ready to go at a moment's notice. I was scrambling to find those things that I needed to have with me through the major change that was going on in my life, which was symbolized by an earthquake or a tsunami. I think this kind of anxiety about feeling ready for the things that life brings us is not just for college freshmen. I think a lot of us have dreams like this or feelings in our waking lives. But I know one of the most common dreams, for example, is to show up somewhere like work or school without all of our clothes on. Like, we haven't been prepared. We haven't put on the clothing that we need to be ready to be where we're supposed to be. Another common dream that people may have is like being in a test for school. This especially folks in school have this dream. Being in class and taking a test that you forgot to study for, didn't prepare for. So I think these kind of dreams are so common, and our anxieties in waking life about being prepared for changes that may come, for things that may happen. And I think that this parable that we read this morning really speaks to this anxiety that we might have about being ready, because that's what the parable is about, people who are ready and people who weren't. We have 10 bridesmaids. Now, I think a lot of times people sort of think of this story as being like the groom is coming and the bridesmaids, we almost think that it's that the groom's going to choose one of them to marry or something. It's kind of like the idea that we get. But actually what's happening is these are truly bridesmaids. They're not the bride. The groom is coming with his bride. If you think that we make a big party out of weddings these days, you haven't seen the parties that happened back in those days when it was time for weddings. It would be like a week-long party at both households, the bride's household and the groom's household. And the main moment of the wedding, the big climax of the wedding, was when the groom would take his groomsmen and they would go to the bride's house, where the party on her family is going on, to pick up the bride and bring her back to his house. Because in these days, marriages were, weddings and marriages were about the kind of patriarchal family structure where the male was the head of the household, and so like the oldest male in any household was the head. So the women, when they married, it wasn't like creating a new household the way we typically do it here in American culture. We get married, we create a new household, and then we have our in-laws on both sides. But there, back then, the woman was joining the family of her husband. She was leaving her own family and joining his family. So the moment that he would go and pick her up and bring her back to his house symbolized and literally was the moment she left her family and came to become a member of his. The bridesmaids were women in his family, welcoming her as a new sister, cousin, aunt, mother. Now, we know that the bridesmaids were told to wait. Their role, the groomsmen's role, was to go with the groom to pick up the bride. The bridesmaids' role was to wait and be the welcome wagon when they returned, to be there with light in the darkness, and open arms and celebration to welcome the new bride, the new member of the family, and to welcome the groom back, of course. And then they would all go in and continue the party at the groom's house. The bride and groom would go off and do what bride and grooms do, and then when they got back, the marriage would be officially consummated, and it would just continue the party for more days. So in this story, we hear that the groom has gone off with his groomsmen to pick up the bride, and he's delayed. And we don't know why he's delayed. Maybe the party at the bride's house was particularly fun and they didn't want to leave. Maybe the bride was having a hard time saying goodbye to her family. We're not sure. But he's delayed until midnight. And the bridesmaids, they're out there waiting and waiting. They're like, okay, he hasn't shown up. We're getting kind of tired. So they all start to doze off. They all start to go to sleep. Until they hear someone announcing, here he comes, wake up, get ready. 5 of the bridesmaids have brought extra oil, so they're ready. They just light their lamps, they're ready to go, they're ready to welcome the new member of their family with joy. The other 5 are not ready, they don't have enough oil. And they ask the others, oh, can you send me your oil? I don't have enough. And the ones who do have enough are like, sorry, we only brought enough for ourselves. If we give you any, then none of us are gonna have oil. So they go off to find oil somewhere, which is a little strange. I mean, I'm not really sure. The idea of there being stores open at midnight where you could buy oil is a little strange. I couldn't find anything in the study guides that I have that talked about that. So I don't really know what was going on there. But whatever was going on, they had to go away to get ready and then come back. But they weren't ready on time. So when they come back, they're knocking on the door saying, let us in, we're ready, we're here, it's time to party, right? And the groom is like, no, you weren't ready. You're not welcome in my house. You didn't welcome me and my bride. You weren't there. So the end of this is Jesus saying, keep awake, because we don't know the hour or the day. We don't know when the groom will come, and we will be asked to be ready. Now, there are a couple of ways that we can interpret this story to have meaning for our lives today. One of them is to kind of put ourselves into the shoes of the hearers of this message, who Jesus was talking to that day, literally. These folks, the disciples and other folks who might have been listening to this, were under the impression that the apocalypse, the end of days, the return of Christ, would happen within their lifetime. They didn't think it was some, you know, far-off, distant possibility. It was like, this could literally come any minute, and it will probably come before I die. That was their understanding. So they heard this story as a literal admonition to be prepared, because truly, anytime during your life, the end of days will come, Jesus will return, and you will face these sort of trials that come with this apocalypse, this Armageddon. So be ready for it. Now, we're hearing this story 2,000 years later, so we know that that didn't actually happen. However, we could still think of it in those terms, that there could be an apocalypse in our lifetime, that this sort of end of days, Armageddon, return of Jesus could still happen in our lifetime. So we could hear this still today, as they did, as an exhortation to be ready for that. Another way to look at it is that all of us die at some point. All of us kind of cross over from life on earth to whatever comes next in that great mystery. And we're not really sure exactly what we're going to encounter, but we may have some sense that there will be an accounting for our lives, a moment where we come face to face with our God and discuss with God what we lived our life like. So we may think of this as an exhortation, be ready for that. Be ready for the moment that you pass on and are held accountable for the way you lived your life. A third way I can think of that we can interpret this is more general preparedness for what could come at any moment in terms of movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That most of us have a sense that God is with us, the Holy Spirit is here in our midst, kind of whether we're aware of it or not, but we don't necessarily feel like God is literally telling us every little thing to do. I didn't necessarily feel like God was telling me what I should eat for breakfast this morning or what type of shampoo I should buy at the grocery store yesterday. So we don't necessarily feel like every single aspect of our lives is controlled or led by God. But there are times where the Holy Spirit moves into our lives and calls us to something. And sometimes when we use the word call, we only think of like a call to ordained ministry. And I do know there are people in this room who are sitting with that potential call, but there are tons of other ways that God calls us to. We may be called to a particular vocation, called to a particular career. We may be called to reconcile a relationship. We may be called to go to a certain place or do a certain thing. There are many ways that God's call may come in our lives. Are we prepared for that? Are we ready? Do we have clean rooms, metaphorically and literally, where we would be ready at the drop of a hat to follow a call that God places on our lives? Have we let go of things, physical things, relationships, idols that we have created that may be coming between us and our ability to follow God? That can be a challenge, you know, to think about what things in my life am I holding on to so tightly that if God were to call me to move, to go, to do something, if I had to let something go to do that, would I be able to? Could I let go of my home? Could I let go of Facebook? Could I let go of... You name it. You know what's on your heart that you may be holding on to really tightly. So these are three different ways we could potentially interpret the scripture. And I think all three of them are valid. All three of them are ways that we may really truly be being called to be prepared. And maybe there's others. Maybe there's a fourth way I haven't thought of that is true for you. I'm not here to tell you what this scripture means for you. I'm only here to relay what it says. So this scripture comes, it's a parable that comes in a long line of parables that Matthew writes that Jesus shared with the disciples. And they're kind of, these parables are put together in an order. And so this, in the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the two parables that come after this and talking about how they kind of inform each other. But for this morning, I just want to focus on how we're prepared, how we maybe are called to be getting prepared, becoming more prepared. And finally, at the end of the story, it says, keep awake, which is kind of an interesting thing to say, considering that all 10 of the bridesmaids fell asleep. The ones who were prepared fell asleep, and they were fine. They woke up when the call came, here comes the bridegroom, get ready. They were fine. So it says keep awake, but really, literally, the problem was not that they fell asleep. The problem was not that they rested. So if we go back and look at the original Greek here, what's been translated as keep awake could also be translated more like keep watch, which again means be prepared, be ready. So the cool thing there is we don't have to spend our lives anxious about, am I ready? Is this little thing gonna, you know, is the shampoo that I buy gonna affect whether I'm ready or not for the Holy Spirit to come in my life? No. There are some sort of large scale things that we might need to do to get ready. Buying oil was what those bridesmaids needed to do. But beyond that, when you are ready and when you kind of got things sorted out, you can rest. You can go to sleep. It's okay. You don't have to sit there anxious all the time. Am I ready? Am I going to be let in? Yeah, you're going to be let in. Just, you know, do what you can do to get ready. And then, you know, we kind of think that we're ready, and then maybe 6 months go by, and we kind of started holding on to something again, and we've got to let it go. So it's a process. But the point is, we don't have to be anxious about this all the time. We don't have to stay awake all the time. We can sleep. We can rest. We can trust that if we have opened ourselves up to be ready to hear the call of God, that if we're engaging in some kind of discipline to keep ourselves prepared, that we can rest in that knowledge that when the groom comes, we will get to enjoy that party. We don't know what the party will look like, but it's going to be a good time.